Well, good morning. And even though we've ended our former morning magicals, Barbara and I don't stop getting together in the morning and talking about stuff. So we're into it again today. And we thought, we're just going to turn on the recorder and it'll just be a mini magical. There's no set frequency to this, but we're just letting you in on our conversations that we're going to have anyway. So I pray it blesses you. And here you go. I was just saying how grateful I am to be married to you. Today is 638 weeks, I believe. And the 1st of October was 152 months since that fateful email. And I'm just so glad I had such a definite word from God and such unmistakable evidence of His presence. And it just occurred to me, when the Father reveals Himself, you don't just hear Him. You can see what He's addressing, sort of. It gives you, you have some kind of vision. All your senses are engaged. You can hear it. You can feel it. And you get some kind of vision. Not so definite, but it's like everything in you is on high alert to take in as much of this experience as possible. You don't know you're doing that, but that's what it's like. And I've had a few occasions, more than a few, really, like that. And it's so, there's just nothing better than when the Father reveals Himself, speaks to you. Nothing better. It's kind of a whole body experience.
And isn't it amazing to see, to be a part of, to live in what that word led to, the culmination, the fulfillment of it?
Yeah, you bet. Because it sure did set the tone for the next almost 13 years. Well, this occurs to me often. That word never leaves me. That word that He said, which was this: say yes to this because it's not coming around again. That's never changed through this whole 12 and a half year experience. That has never changed. No matter what we faced, no matter where we were, no matter what was going on in our lives and in our relationship, because we had our stuff. Come on, let's be honest. Everybody has their stuff.
The iron sharpening iron.
The iron, that's a great way to categorize it. Iron sharpening iron, because we were brought together by purpose, for purpose, on purpose, and it was unmistakably so. So, yeah, it wasn't just two people butting heads sometimes. Iron sharpening iron. That's a really good description.
That's what the Holy Bible says.
But the strength of that word, the power of that word, has carried me from that point on through everything. Every opposition and every sign and wonder and miracle that confirmed that my point of obedience, which was only to say yes, that it was continually affirmed or confirmed. It's never left. There isn't a day that I come out of my bedroom to sit down for our time together and not feel such appreciation. Every day I am full of appreciation. I come out from sleep and I look at the home that God delivered, really, with signs, wonders, and miracles, every step of our lives, that it is obvious. It's obvious that His presence is here. It's obvious that He did this. It's obvious that this is His pleasure. And you know the truth of it is, it's been obvious from day one. From the day that word was given to me, it has been obvious from that day. It did not take long.
He just wanted your agreement.
Yeah. It's like everything in me lined up behind that simple word, say yes. I get the last part because it's not coming around again. But that's never had to be, that's not the way to say it. That's never had to have been repeated. Is that the way to say that?
You never
feels awkward.
That
Thank you. So it was the carrot and the stick. Once I got it, then I didn't need the stick anymore. You know, I'm all about the carrot. Say yes. That's all that matters. Because apart from that, His presence is not there. He's not in anything but the yes.
He invited you into yes.
Yes.
You look at the times that God's had me give a word to people. God's saying yes to what he's put in your heart because he put it there.
Uh-huh.
And it's like you, through your agreement, entered into God's yes. And look at the times when we've been up against some major stuff and you've said, I'm saying yes. That's the only word. That's what God said to me.
Yes.
Say yes. And my yes isn't going to change.
That's right. His yes isn't going to change, and neither is mine then.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I don't ever hear him. I can't say don't ever. I don't hear him say no very often. He just doesn't say much at all. He doesn't say anything. It's like, you know when you're in the yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when you're in the absence of that. And the absence of yes is no.
Well, and that's where your comment of, if God's not showing, I'm not going.
There you go. That's right. He always gives direction. Well, that is the yes by definition. If he's giving you the direction, that's where he's wanting you to go. If he's giving you direction, that's his yes. This is where to go. And then it's always about you being in agreement with that. That's the obedience part. You're in agreement with that, you go for it, and he confirms it, and the blessing continues to flow. It's always that four-step cycle. But he doesn't. I've not known him. I'm trying to think if I've known any word. I've never heard a word from him that was a no. There's just not a yes. So the couple times when I have gone beyond any word I had, there's just a grieving that comes on me. Mm-hmm. A grieving in my spirit that you're in the wilderness right now and you need to turn the heck around. And as soon as I did, oh, the peace returns. Okay, you're back in your I don't know what to liken it to. You're back in your yard. This is where you can play. This is where you can live in peace. If you go outside this yard, it's not pretty. But I'm always aware, especially when we get together in the mornings, I am always aware of how profound that word has been, what it has produced, and how much peace there is living in that.
Mm-hmm. That agreement with God.
You would want this kind of experience for everybody. Everybody who has ever come to the Lord, you would want that experience for them. That, man, how it's indescribable how precious it is when the Father speaks to you and you know that's Him speaking. Because it is literally a whole body experience. And there's nothing, you know, nothing audible, nothing loud out there. But it's unmistakable. It fills you up. Everything about it fills you up. I've said before, when the Father speaks to you, number one, you know it's His voice. You can never mistake it. It's His voice. And you know it's His voice. And then the other thing is, you always know what the subject matter is. He only said, say yes, and then fleshed it out to say yes to this because it's not coming around again. But I knew what the subject matter was instantly. It's like it's all contained, and he births his word inside you so that you know what he's talking about. He doesn't have to say what he's talking about. It's in there. His word is so complete that the subject is in there too, and the direction. It's such a marvelous experience. I know I sound like I'm unable to get past saying it, but I'll tell you what, I relive it all the time. And I know that every step I take, in this home especially, is in His Word. It's in the fulfillment of His Word. It's in all the evidence. This was what He was talking about. This is where He was leading all along. That you couldn't see at first, certainly. But you didn't care. I didn't care. I didn't care what anything looked like beyond that word. And we went through some stuff, for sure. It wasn't always pretty.
Has God extracted the precious from the worthless?
Well, not only extracting the precious from the worthless in each of us, but also all those people around us that had to have their opinions, make sure we knew what their opinions were.
And be removed.
and be and get removed. One of the biggest lessons I remember was you got a word at some point. The word was circle the wagons. Circle your wagons, one of the two. Meaning in the two walking together as one, you got to protect yourself from everybody else out there who is not after your best interests, despite what they may say. People try to be helpful, quote unquote, but it's not. They want you to look like they look or like you used to look because it's uncomfortable for them for you to change. They can't know you in the same way. That's uncomfortable. And there are only two people in our lives who decided to lay down their agenda, whatever their opinions were, whatever they thought they wanted. Only two. One of them was my mother, and now she's not even here. So there's only one in my life left. I mean, I have some kind of a relationship with my sisters, but it's not a profound relationship.
They're peripheral.
They're peripheral, yeah. They're pleasant, but they're peripheral. They're not privy to all our comings and goings.
Well, I think we've seen so many times the two becoming one, that's the covenant.
That is, yes, exactly.
So only people who honor and celebrate that covenant can even be peripheral. But it's not like anyone who's not in covenant. I mean, if God gives someone a word, all right, I've never seen that happen. Because God speaks within the covenant.
Oh, gives them a word for us?
Yeah, I'm just saying, I haven't seen that happen. God's well able to speak to me from you, like yesterday,
yeah.
Or me to you. You know, he speaks within the covenant of the two being one.
Yeah, I think the only time that it went outside of the two was when we lived in Nashville.
Yeah, prophetic.
Prophetic words or yes. You know, words of encouragement when we were kind of low.
Yeah.
Kind of low.
But
that's euphemism for being at your bottom.
that wasn't, those words were ongoing. They weren't, I mean, it was the encouragement we needed and the direction we needed to keep going.
Right.
But they were true prophetic words.
Yep.
From seasoned prophets who had no agenda.
Mm-hmm. I really didn't know us from anybody. Yeah, and those words have continued. Their impact is still with us.
We're still walking on them.
Yeah, the reality of those words is living. It's almost like if you're going to negotiate this eon successfully, you're going to need to hear from God, and you're going to need to hear from his prophets walking on the earth today. You're going to need that kind of support to accomplish two things, really. One is to grow you up into a mature son or daughter to whom he can relate intimately and vice versa. And to find and fulfill the purpose for which he created you. You're going to need both of those. You're going to need people in your lives whom he will choose to speak into your life with his own words. And you'll need to know his presence and hear his word directly. I'm giving my opinion. I don't have scripture to back any of that up, but that's what it has been. I would not be here but for his word. I wouldn't have had the direction that came through Marty Layton in Nashville, Tennessee, bless his heart, who didn't know us from anybody, and basically, in a prophetic word, laid it all out. Not specifics, but the mechanism, so to speak, when he talked about the time machine. He didn't know what he was seeing.
He birthed it.
Yeah. He didn't know what it was, so he called it a time machine. He's got all this stuff spinning around here and there. And it's such a great word. What is that? He said, I remember looking at it. This is going here and all this stuff is happening in this. It looks like a time machine to you. What in the world is that? What in the world do you do with that? That's the business. That's the future. And God will show you as you go.
And he sure has.
He has. Within 3 months of that word, the time machine was beginning its construction. And now it kind of runs on its own. Every once in a while I got to tweak something, but it pretty much runs on its own.
God spoke and the world was.
Yeah. And that came out of the original word to say yes. Because the time machine began to be built, this is what I see. The time machine began to be built when he said, the word he gave me was, go meet the chiropractors. That's all he said. And when I did that, then another word came. Not long after I started to meet the chiropractors. Offered a coach, some colleagues. Oh, okay. And not long after that, I start a fly-in program. Offer a fly-in to someone specific. Oh, yeah? It wasn't long after that that the request came to look at somebody's book. Give him my opinion.
You've been doing books ever since.
And then it was hold a seminar, do a workshop. And all that I just described happened before or by the first day of spring in 2010. So between January, when the first word came, go meet the chiropractors, and mid to late March, that construction of this time machine was well underway.
And we were living in the apartment in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just starting to get into the groove, so to speak, when you when you declared we were going to move to Indianapolis. You went up for a visit, and then you were looking at houses, and you found at least one house, I remember. Actually, I think there were three. And that was, you came back from that trip with the declaration, we're moving to Indianapolis. Oh my gosh, I was just getting into the...
for a squatter, isn't it?
Just getting into the groove of God rebuilding a life. Oh, man. Just...
I miss sledgehammers.
Oh, man. I don't really know why we're going back through this morning, but... Oh, because it's our anniversary. 638 weeks we've been married. I love celebrating anniversaries every week. Don't wait for every year, for heaven's sake. Not when God has done it. Celebrate every day, but for sure, make it a remembrance every week. I really think he likes it. I really feel like he just smiles every week when I have that. I keep that number on the calendar. Next week it'll show 639. I really think he likes that. I think God loves being remembered for his goodness, his kindness, and even his scourging because of the results it produces. To be appreciated, even for that, which never feels good at the time, but it gets the job done. When the scourging is done, you are content. You live in his presence. That's what it feels like to me, looking back on that. From that point on, you are able to live in his presence. He does not leave you, and you don't leave his side. You don't leave his feet, however, whatever the image is.
It's like through the scourging, he chops off all the stuff that can't stand in his presence.
Yeah. And standing in his presence and never having to leave his presence, but always standing right there, you're never outside his direction. You can hear it in an instant. Fascinating. Never thought of it quite like that before. But that's the power that exists in the presence of God to bring you to where he wants you. And yeah, some stuff's going to get, as you say, chopped off or burned up, whatever it is. And no, that's not comfortable, never comfortable. But if you're going to live in Christ, you've got to die to everything else. If we are living with him, surely we have died with him, or vice versa, however Paul says it. Yeah, if we died with him, then we live with him. Okay, but that dying is a literal process you go through. Because going through that cramped gate that Yeshua talked about, he says, what a cramped gate. This is uncomfortable. You're not going to feel good going through this gate. And that's why so many people don't even find it. Because it's not... it's not really a very inviting place to be. It doesn't look like much either. That gate's all covered up with vines and woods and thorn bushes.
People, places, and things.
And once you get into that gate, it's uncomfortable all the way through it. Because stuff just needs scraped off. You can't take stuff with you. You can't take people with you for sure. Amen. And when you come out of that gate, it's still a narrowed path. It doesn't ever really widen up. It stays narrow for a reason. And to me, the reason is because we are yet human. And so we're... We have to have a continual reminder to be aware of where you step, because it's perilous to either side. It really is. Now it's funny, but my image of that narrowed path is along a mountainside where you've got the mountain wall next to you. In my brain, it's to the right. And there's nothing but sheer drop-off to the left. And as long as you hug that wall, which to me is the metaphor for hugging, just never leave the presence of God. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on to Yeshua. He's already been down that path. So hold on to him. Don't let him go. And hold fast to the Father. Anyway, that's the image I have. So that you can walk down this path that is... He never said that path opens up somewhere. But man, where he takes you. You'd have never thought. It would have never occurred to you to go where he takes you. But where he takes you is full of his peace, his presence, his protection, his provision. All these P words. And his purpose. It's all there. It's funny, if you ever step just slightly off that path, it's like if you were literally walking on this narrow stone path along a mountainside and you slipped or you took a misstep and almost fell. You know how you all of a sudden gasp and catch yourself and grab back and hoist yourself back onto that path? That's what it's like. That's what it feels like. But thankfully, we don't have to feel like that much anymore. I don't remember the last time I felt like that. You just go where he shows and don't go where he doesn't show. It's that simple. It's not hard to follow the path. It just requires attention. You know, there's no cruise control here. So that would be my hope for everybody, to come into that kind of relationship, that kind of intimacy with the Father. And with Yeshua. God bless everybody.
We pray there are nuggets from our journey that can help you in yours. And blessings, love, peace, and joy in the presence of Almighty God, I pray. That he gets what he's after in each of our lives and gives us no choices but to say yes. So, glad you joined us for our mini magical today.
Amen.